young. I loved him through high school. I loved him when he decided to give some years of service to the Marines. I loved him when he went into a season of incredible darkness. Still loved him. And I love him today. I couldn't have loved him any more then than I do now. But he's a life changed by the grace and the power of God. I'm going to ask my son Joe to come on up here and say hey.
It's an honor to be here with you all today. My dad said, I'm the youngest son of these wonderful parents, and it's an honor just to be able to share my story with you today. It was a long and dark road to get to where I'm at, and only by the grace of God am I here today. I'd probably could be dead for many of things that have happened. You know, I was thinking about really what I wanted to share, and you know, I decided I really wanted to give you all the unsanitized version of my story. While it's hard to talk about some things, you know, it's really, I didn't want to hold back really all of what God has done and show really this all the sin that I ran into. And so I'll just jump right into it. And for me, I really got to start at the beginning. And, you know, grow up a pastor's kid. But really, I never had my own walk with the Lord or any strong sense of the word of it. You know, I really just had the verses that I could say the right lines near pastor's friends. But I didn't want my own relationship with the Lord. There was no, you know, it was really, I gave separation to him. And that separation and apathy became resentment and anger really towards God as we moved from Mount Morris and we came to Leroy, and, you know, I was the big soccer player in a big football town, you know, in a part of the country where, you know, there's a lot of pushback towards the gospel, and being the pastor's son, I got a lot of flack for it, even though I wasn't even walking it. And so it turned into a lot of anger, and I just had no sense of real belonging, even though I had, you know, a few really good friends like Brian. There was just no sense of belonging deep down I had. And, you know, God created each and every one of us to feel that sense of belonging. To really, it can only be fulfilled at the table with him. But we're also social beings. And each and every one of us, you know, wants there to be a table where we feel welcome. And I just never felt that. And so that was my whole high school years, really, deep down. And I went off and joined the Marine Corps, and it's a time that I'll always cherish and love, and something I'll keep with me and be proud of till the day I die. But, you know, the Marine Corps, especially the infantry where I was, the culture of it is about as far away from biblical morality as you can possibly be. And so when I went into it, not having any strong principles in God, I jumped right into the deep end of all that stuff. And there was this, you know, this mentality of, you know, we're the real men. We're going to, you know, get our validation through. We're going to go out and do America's dirty work. You know, we'll go kill the enemy. We come back and we sleep with as many girls as we can. We drink more alcohol than anyone else on earth. And that became my life. And addictions all around. Outside of deployment and training, my life in the Marine Corps could be summed up by mornings waking up to girls I met the night before and a bottle of whiskey in my hand. That was really my life. And the emptier I got, because none of that stuff fulfills, even though the world tries to tell you it does, you know, the emptier you get, the more you just fill with it. And so it became a vicious cycle and just an absolute addiction that seared my conscience completely. At that point, I was in a place where it didn't even feel wrong anymore. I had no sense of God. My heart just completely hardened. I didn't think about God, and it just completely seared. And, you know, I got out in 2016, and I was still living that same life. you know, at that point, still being empty, you know, outside of the Marine Corps, then I could, you know, I didn't have to worry about drug tests anymore. So I started to, you know, do the whole party drug scene, you know, in Buffalo and Rochester for the few months in between until I went to Ole Miss, and just anything I could do to try to fulfill this void in me. I dove into all of it. And I went to the University of Mississippi in late 2016, early 2017, you know, still planning for that to really just be my life. I didn't know any different. And, it was going to be the accomplishments and the women. And, you know, I was had the 4.0 GPA. I was the big, you know, fraternity star at the big Greek, the biggest Greek life school in the country. Just anything that I could wrap my identity around to try to finally fill that void in me. But, you know, God works in mysterious ways. And for me, you know, I was in such a place of, even though I was empty, I carried myself very arrogantly. And, you know, in a lot of ways, I just thought I was Superman. There was no consequences for my choices. I was just, you know, guys want to be me and girls want to be with me. But, you know, I needed to see the consequences of my choices and what that could look like. And, you know, that's a great and terrifying grace from the Lord. And that came actually at the end of my first semester at Ole Miss. I had a misdiagnosis, which was the scariest 2 weeks of my entire life. And I went off to the VA for a routine physical and blood work. And it should have been just one of those, we do it once a year, we won't see you till next year. And that was on a Thursday, and I got a call on Monday saying, Mr. Hempfling, we need you to come back in. And that was a little, you know, scary. Went back in, didn't know what was going on. And I heard the words you never want to hear, which was, we need to do a confirmation, but your blood registered HIV positive. And as you can imagine, my life imploded. The ground that I built my life on sunk before my very eyes, and all my aspirations of I was going to be this big dude, the big defense lawyer, make a bunch of money, have some trophy wife and trophy kids. It was just replaced with utter shame. It was the modern-day leper, the unclean one, the societal, you know, trash heap. And it was the first time in a long time I cried out to God. It was absolute distress, 911, God, please help me. And in his unbelievable mercy, I came back in 2 weeks later, and they said not only was the second blood, the confirmation, completely clean, the first one was too. The nurse had just completely put it in wrong. And there was a whole thing of, you know, the vets cannot sue the VA. And even though my doctor was like, I wish you could sue us for everything we have, is the most messed up thing I've ever seen. But to be honest, if I could, that nurse, whoever did that, I wish I could thank him, because that was the moment the unseen hand of God became to come over my life. And while I wish I could tell you, I immediately changed and there was immediate transformation. And you'd think that that would scare me enough, but some of us are just too broken and our idea of who God is too distorted for there just to be complete freedom right away. And really that came, you know, I began though to look, Lord, I know this isn't there. I'm not going to find fulfillment in these things. But the only idea I had of God was a God of wrath and judgment. You know, it's funny, you can read this book through all the times I had until you have that revelation on your heart of what God's love and mercy and grace really is. You know, it just doesn't mean anything. And so for me, all I knew is that one day he's going to judge me. And so, and it was all about me having to live up to his expectations on my own strength. And so really my Ole Miss years was a constant back and forth of, I'm going to try to live for you, God, on my own strength. And then, like many of you know, fall flat on my face, because you're not able to live out the Christian life on your own strength. It's only by God's ability and strength. And so when that would happen, all I knew was to run from him, because this guy, he's a God that is now is mad at me, just at utter rage. And when you don't have God to run to, you just run back into the same stuff. And so I ran back into the same stuff. That was really my whole Ole Miss years for the last 3 years. There was just a constant back and forth of, God, I want to run to you. I mess up, run back into the same stuff. And that's all was leading up to really, I wasn't even scared to die almost. I was literally scared, the look of just disgust on his face when we met one day, when I came before him, just of how could you, after you grew up in the church, your parents are pastors, you've heard the gospel, how could you just keep getting it wrong like this your whole life? That was until this summer, and I went out to Sydney, Australia to visit my brother and sister, and went to Hillsong Conference. And the whole week, really every song and message was about the love and grace and mercy of God. And it just slowly, God began to soften my heart. And for the first time in my life, there's just this peace set in, and I felt like the Lord spoke clearly to my heart over that week, just about really, I've never been ashamed of you. I've never been disgusted with you. Had the situation not turned out the way it did and you really did have that disease, I still would love you and not be disgusted with you. And really all I wanted was to bring transformation and freedom from all the stuff that has been killing you for so long. And it broke me. It broke me in that moment. I surrendered. I said, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do. Wherever you want me to go, I'll go. A God that would love me after all the stuff I did, all the girls I used. It's not words on a book when it becomes that real. And so I just really wanted to encourage y'all today, no matter where you are, or if you have a family member far away from God, I'm believing this is going to be a season of prodigal sons returning to the Father. I really wanted to read this passage to y'all. This one means so much to me. Luke 15, the parable of the lost sheep, says, now the tax collectors and the sinners were all gathering around to hear him. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. And I just want to encourage y'all, no matter how far a family member may be away from God, how much into the darkness they've run, he is in pursuit of them. He has left the 99 to go find them. There's nobody who can run into too much darkness that he can't go after them. There isn't a grave they can dig too deep that he still isn't underneath, waiting for them to turn to him. And, I was reading the other day in Leviticus, it talks about the life and the blood. There's nobody too spiritually dead that the blood of Jesus cannot bring something living out of it. I'm only up here today because of praying parents and a praying congregation. So I just wanted to keep praying for those that are lost, or if you yourself, do not give up. God hasn't given up. It says when we have not been faithful, he still remains faithful. Thank y'all so much.
Uh-huh.